morning. Good morning and welcome to Circles of Prosperity. Today is Tuesday, October the 30th, 2012. I'm Cynthia Johnson and I'm here with Dr. Reggie Johnson. And of course, there's Gloria Wells in our chat room. And we are your hosts this morning. We are continuing our book study of Dr. Reggie's book, The Secret Power of Words, Manifesting What You Say. And this is a pre-recorded show. Dr. Reggie and I are off boating. I hope that all of you will take the time to take advantage of early voting as well, especially in light of all of this bad weather that we're having and all of the changes that they're making in the voting rules. You want to have a little leeway in case you run into some difficulty. So please take advantage of early voting, and your vote does count. It does matter. I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our morning prayer at this time. Dr. Reggie.
We want to say thank you, Heavenly Father, for another day and a fantastic opportunity to learn that name is nature. And everything that we speak, we realize it becomes a part of our personality, which survives even us. And we thank you that we have this power and this energy, and there's a constant genesis of reality and who we are. As we learn this lesson, we know that our name is our nature. Let us honor that part of ourselves and honor our nature and honor you most of all in the energy of the Christ as a nature and a name and a mantle to wear bestowed upon us. I believe it is so, and so it is.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to move into Chapter 9 this morning. And Dr. Reggie titles this chapter, What's in a Name? What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. That's a line from the play Romeo and Juliet by William Shakespeare, and it seems to indicate that our family names are not important when it comes to love. While nothing is as important as love, a name does carry a lot of meaning and energy. Names are like fingerprints, each being an identification of an individual. So your name is important because it is how others identify you. It also has power to influence and bless your life, regardless of whether you know its meaning or etymology, because studies have conducted by name societies reveal that names influence character. They influence personality and have a very specific energy pattern. Even the spelling of your name is important, as you may well realize, because whenever it is misspelled on an account or in a legal document. So naming children at birth is an ancient practice. It's been used by all cultures, and some cultures use a very simple or a single name, and others are very complex and are known to change at various points throughout the person's life, such as at baptism or at weddings or circumcision or other significant events or rites of passage. But how names are derived can be a mystery, as varied as the names themselves. And some last names came from the occupation of the father, such as a carpenter or a smith, black or gold, or tailor or cook or butler. But other names were respective of where a family lived. In European countries, children were often named after their parents and grandparents. The first son was named after the father's father, the second son after the mother's father, the third son after the father, and then the father's brothers. Or the first daughter was named after the mother's side of the family, respectively. And some early New England children were named by virtues the parents hoped their child would possess, such as hope and charity, patience, chastity, and even prudence. So your name is like a mantra that creates a vibration of energetic pattern affecting your personality. It affects your finances, your relationship, your career choices, and specific forces of intellect. If your name does not resonate with you, it may mean that you have outgrown its vibration. So let's look at how the impact of names in the Bible. How Adam names the animals. And so here it is. A horse is a horse, of course. But it could have been named anything and still have four legs, hoofed feet, and a mane of hair. Why is it important that animals have a name? So the Bible places a profound emphasis on the meaning of every person, every place, and everything. So we look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. Adam is said to have named the animals. Here's how it reads in the Bible. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. And he brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was his name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, to all the birds of the air, and all the beasts in the field. So perhaps God thought that since mankind had dominion, which equals and means responsibility over the earth, it was up to him to protect and care for the animals. It would be a good idea to let Adam name them. And that way he could get to know them better and have interaction with them. Where would one begin to know what to call the animals? Either Adam asked the animals what they wanted to be called and they told him, or he named them by the sound they made or how they looked. Every language has renamed the animals again and again from whatever name Adam may have originally assigned them. Who knows if the same animals even exist now as then? There was probably a much smaller group of animals all those millions of years ago, and some have become extinct and others have interbred to create new species. Names and other languages are ambiguous and difficult to translate into English. So it's not probable that the names by which we call animals now are the same names Adam gave them, especially since Adam didn't speak English. The fact that God let mankind name the animals shows his confidence in us to rule the planet. Let's look at the name of Jesus. Now, a name is also a label used to identify a person. Jesus is a Hebrew name, and it translates to God saves. And what was Jesus' earthly mission? His earthly mission and the vibrational expression of his identity was given at birth. His name creates a forceful emotional effect in our unconscious mind, which is divinely connected to the mind of God. So the name of Jesus is at the heart of Christian prayer. All liturgical prayers conclude with the words, through our Lord Jesus Christ, or in the name of Jesus Christ. The Hail Mary reaches its highest point in the words, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. So the Eastern prayer of the heart, the Jesus prayer says, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And many elevated Catholic saints, such as Saint Joan of Arc, have died with the name of Jesus on their lips. The name, the name, the name, the name of Jesus is used in vain today so frequently because we forget how powerful that name really is. because of the interceding authority of the Master Jesus. We pray in His name and invoke His power and His authority to work in us and through us to help others to heal, to help others to renew, and to comfort them. We are given the blueprint of Christ to have authority over all powers and supernatural forces of darkness because of His love and His presence operating in us. We are able to overcome the world. The world I'm referring to are the limiting and those erroneous belief systems that attempt to control our mind or even usurp our free will. The name, simply the name of Jesus, signifies that the very name of God is present in the person of His Son, made man for the universal and definitive redemption from sins. Sin, in my definition, is anything that influences us to believe in the illusion that we are somehow separate or alienated from the light, the love, or the presence of God. It is that divine name that brings salvation from the illusion, and therefore anyone may invoke His name. The name has power. The word has power. You just think of it this way. If we are created in the image of God, and we contain all the components of God, then we are like a hologram or a reflective part of the Creator. And since we are all sons and daughters, we are also heirs to the kingdom. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And all that is His is mine and is yours. For Jesus united Himself to all men through His earthly incarnation, so that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Because the name of Jesus fully manifests the supreme power of God through the name which is above every name. The light Jesus carried caused evil spirits to fear His name. The power of love allowed His disciples to perform miracles in His name, which equals and means as a representative of Jesus, because the Father grants all they ask in His name. We have the family name and the unity with God and the ascended master, our elder brother, Jesus, and we own the family jewels. So by this right, we are able to do miracles and bring salvation to ourselves and all of creation. So I have a friend who was the director of a Mother's Day out program for a church in Georgia, and the day school decided to host a Thanksgiving feast in which each enrolled child was allowed to bring two guests or family members, and the school was on a tight budget and didn't want to waste any money, so they asked for an RSVP in order to know how much food to prepare. And even though some extra food had been prepared just in case, it was obvious once the dinner line opened that there were more people present than had been sent in an RSVP, and there wasn't enough food to feed all the people. And so the hot trays were almost empty, and there were at least 40 hungry people standing in line holding a styrofoam plate. And while continuing to serve up the same amount of food on each plate, my friend verbally invoked the power of the name of Jesus with a simple prayer. And never doubting for a moment, she said, "Okay, God, You can see that we have more people to serve than we have food. I believe that Jesus fed 5,000 people with less food than this, and I want You to multiply this food like You did for him. I state this in the mighty name of Christ, and so it is." So the teachers and the volunteers, they continued to dip green beans and turkey dressing and cranberry sauce and mashed potatoes for another 15 or 20 minutes until everyone had been served a full-size helping. And at the end of the dinner, when the kitchen was cleaned and put back in order, the volunteers were surprised to be wrapping up leftovers to take home with them. So as you can see, the name of Jesus is powerful. We are welcome to a full range of benefits from the family's unlimited resources. It's one of the perks of being one with God. And yes, we are one. We are one with God. Jesus' prayer was that the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. In our heavenly knowledge, we understand that we are one with each other and with God. And in recognizing this truth, we are able to love one another as if that person were our very self, because they are. And also, in recognizing this truth, we are able to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul, because we are one in the Spirit of Christ. Now, I hope that makes sense to you. And while our words to or about one another are so effective and so powerful, I will conclude today's lesson at this point and ask Dr. Rezi to take us into our closing prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful lesson and all the beautiful images and wonderful power that it brings. We know that everything is in divine order, and words are spoken, and everything that we say, we take to the heart, the most powerful center of our being. We thank you for that by the power of Christ's energy on us. As we go forward, we believe that's so.